Well, hello and welcome to What's Brewing CSFA. What's Brewing CSFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as 2020-2021 CSFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CSFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CSFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
It's too bad, Dana, I can't play multiple pourings of cups this morning, you know. if people didn't know, because they won't know until they read the show title. We have guests. We have multiple guests here today.
Yes, we do. Yes.
So let's quickly introduce them. So we have Lisa Mandy, Director of Financial Aid over at De Anza College. She is a current CSFA Vice President of Federal Issues, and she will be the CSFA Secretary coming up this year. Welcome, Lisa.
Hello, everybody.
It's good to hear from you there.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. And then we have David Loverin, Financial Aid Director at College of Sequoias, and he is the region, I'm going to say region five rep, and he is now the incoming CSFA treasurer-elect. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you both here. As I put out the clarion call to all of our exec board members and others and such, I wanted to make sure we had interviews here while we're rolling into summer. We're coming out of the spring semester, and soon enough, Dana, I will not be president.
Oh,
you know that too. But
you gonna mic drop out?
I wish we could, but no. We're gonna have put this equipment to use for another year. The incoming president Anna Faye has asked.
Yes, she has.
That we do another year of this. So we're gonna double our contract money offering.
And we're going to double our shenanigans, of course.
Yes, that we're definitely going to do because there were shenanigans, whereas our salaries, there was none. So doubling that gets us nowhere. Gets us nowhere. But, you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting when we, you know, as the people have, volunteered to join the show was the fact that both Lisa and David had previous positions on the board and now have new ones coming up this year. So, David, let me get your take on that. What made you decide that you wanted to stay with this weird group of shenanigans makers?
Well, I think I noticed, like a lot of probably like directors or staff out there, it has been a crazy year with COVID. We're probably all working a lot harder than we ever have. With it seems like the normal activities of financial aid in our offices running are still happening, but then all these new grants and money and make things happen. It's almost like doubling down. I think there's a lot of exhaustion and burnout. So even as I was regional rep, that was a great experience for me, being part of the CSFA board, being tied in with Chancellor's Office leadership, kind of in that circle. It's a great way to learn. It's a great way to get to know people. I was kind of a newbie to the financial aid world, so not knowing anybody, going to CSFA conferences, you know, get involved, tell me just to get to know more people, learn a lot. It's been a great experience. But I even considered, you know, okay, do I want to run for treasurer? Do I want to keep going? I'm so exhausted. Do I just want to step back and just focus on my office, focus on what's happening at my school? And, but I thought, you know, I'll keep going. My background's in accounting and finance. I have banking industry. So I thought, okay, I can at least be a treasurer and keep helping and do some good that way and stay involved. And so I signed up for that 3-year treasurer stint, and we'll see if I'm still standing at the end.
You can do it.
But when I asked the group, the region group, like, okay, who wants to take my place as regional rep? You know, usually there's 3 or 4 or 5 volunteers. This time I had to keep asking. Like, finally got, Mickey Johnson from Fresno City stepped up, and she's going to do a fantastic job and bring a lot of her experience to the CSFA group. So
absolutely. Yeah, it's good to have new blood. That's sometimes the impetus of, you know, when you take a position, we get somebody new into the position. You never know. But I think treasurer wise, you know, I did it twice in a row, you know, so if I can do it, you know, certainly you've got much more of that background experience. It will be fun. And it really is a good experience for our group. And again, we're not a huge association where, you're talking millions of dollars to be managed and things like that. So don't worry about that. We're reasonably sized. Now, Lisa, you too. Now, you've moved from our vice president of federal issues, 2 good years there. And again, like I reported out during our exec board meeting, yours were the 2 most attended breakout sessions. What made you decide to stay onto the board for another year as a secretary and hopefully something beyond that?
First of all, I find it hilarious that my 2 most attended, I just find that entertaining. Yep. Well, I started out as a region rep as well. And I came into the community colleges from the proprietary sector. So it was really a great opportunity to, you know, meet people who'd been with the community colleges for a long period of time. And I really think that our CSFA board does a lot of good things for our sector. It's just so different in community colleges compared to the CSUs, to the proprietary sector, to the private sector, that I think what we do is meaningful. I, you know, had thought about not running again. And then Mike Deere, bless his sweetheart, mm-hmm. was like, oh, come on, just put your name out there. I said, please don't put me for anything that's like longer than a year. I'm not sure I have the bandwidth for it. And I think secretary position's a good one. Taking the notes, Kevin Harrell, who is our Region 4 rep, said, oh my God, we are going to rock our Region 4 meetings going mm-hmm. forward because you're going to have all the good notes. So I'm excited about it. And I'm excited to continue to partner with all of you. I think we have amazing people that work in our community colleges. Amazing.
That we do. And I agree with everything you said. Yes. Part of the position, Mike Deere is a past president. Part of his job is the strong arming work of nominations and elections. So that's why Dana, me, when I'm a past president, I will be strong arming people like you to think about first positions on the board. You know, yes. So keep that in mind. But yeah, it's great to have you both continue on. And again, in different positions, there's such a variety of things. We've covered them all on prior podcasts as far as people in. We've had David Shook, our webmaster. We've had regional reps. We've had a lot of past presidents have come through. We've had Tamara, Linda Williams, and such on this podcast. Our goal is hopefully to have a past president from the far past, Pat Hurley, at some point join us on the show. And again, you know, I got involved in CSFA because of her. Because I worked for her back in late 90s, early 2000s. And she had been involved in so many things, including CSFA. Like, it was just normal business for her to tell me, We're going to the regional meeting this month or whatever. We used to do them almost every month down here in 7 and 8. And I would just tag along and you get to know people. And then sooner or later, you're going to, regional meetings and you're going to CSFA conferences and you're meeting additional people and you see the value that you get out of this. So Dana, it's coming for you soon. Keep that in mind.
I will.
Yeah. So Lisa, let me, we'll switch a little bit of topics now that we know that we've got you roped in for another year. How are things going down at up there at Deanza and such?
It's just crazy. You're talking about earlier, all the money that's just flooding into our colleges. It can be challenging to manage it. And I'm kind of given pretty much free mm-hmm. rein on how it works, but getting things set up and getting out to the students has been a little challenging, but I think it is so gratifying to help them. I read mm-hmm. a lot of our, the incoming applications for emergency funds for the students we haven't automatically awarded. And I'm just so humbled when I read their struggles and think, oh, I'm so blessed that I still have a job, and the job that I do, I can help other people. And I think it's amazing. And I think the pandemic, while it's been annoying, as we all know, I think in a weird way, it's brought our campus together on a more global level, if you will, because of all our chancellor does weekly chancellor's office hours. So everybody's there and everybody gets to talk, and you can connect with instructors that you maybe didn't, and they will reach out to me if their students need books. And all the deans that we have, just everybody working together, I think it's just given us a little bit more sense of community, because we have a large campus, like I know some of you do as well. And we're very spread out, like mm-hmm. financially, we're on our own little island. We don't even hang out with anybody else in our building. So I really appreciate this part of it. And of course I partner with Foothill, you know, with Kevin up there, and we are just trying to make things better for our students as we go. And I think that's really our charge, is to make sure that we're serving our students and meeting them where they are.
That's awesome. I mean, that's good to hear. I mean, yeah, I mean, some of us don't have as much in control over all of these CARES and HERF funds, but when you do, and again, you can see the impact it can have on keeping students, keeping them engaged, all the better. It really is. David, how about you? How are things over there at the Sequoias?
Things are going, you know, pretty good right now. I think about the, the Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun, you know, things are getting better with the pandemic, the state restrictions are starting to be relaxed. So it's nice that things are opening up. Things are looking better. Our college, we just ended our spring semester. We're rolling into the start of our summer term next week. We were able to have a live graduation. We had about 650 students.
Oh, nice.
That wanted to walk. And so we, instead of packing them all into our, you know, our local, football field bowl we share with one of the local high schools here. We broke it into two ceremonies, had 350 students a ceremony, did a 4 o'clock ceremony, walked them in, had them spread out on the football field, all socially distanced. The families were socially distanced in the stands. Everybody behaved, wore their masks, did about an hour, 10 minutes, read all the names, caps and gowns, walked them off the field and out into the parking lot where they met their families, cleaned the stadium, set everything back up. Second at 8 o'clock, and had two graduation ceremonies, and the families and students loved having that opportunity to have a live graduation. And then starting next week too, we are all staff back at work full time. We've been doing kind of like a 2 days in the office, 3 days work from home, but everybody's back at work next week.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be an exciting week, starting a new term, summer school, all staff back, all the anxieties and things and trying to get back into the groove. So that's all, where it'll be a little bit crazy. It's a lot of positives happening. And I did a lot of, comments from Lisa as far as just the financial aid part, just trying to stay focused on our students, trying to keep up with all the new funding resources that are coming in, get those out, disbursement plans and so forth. But each day you just kind of, what's on the list, let's keep plugging away and let's keep moving forward and hope that we're, life is marching in the direction of back to normal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lisa, how about you? Are you guys all re-engaged? Are you going back to campus? Are you working from home still?
We're still working from home. Santa Clara has probably one of the most restrictive policies, I think, mm-hmm. in the state. So we're really kind of going by their guidelines. So we do have, our nursing programs, our allied health programs on campus, our auto tech programs are back. So they're really kind of looking at who's essential and needs to be on campus to do their work. They're hoping to bring more classes back in the fall. As you know, we're a quarter school, so that won't be till September. So I have one person going to the office once a week. It's very sporadic, and they have a phased out plan for us, and it changes daily. So we're just kind of waiting, but I can't wait to go back to campus. I'm not going to lie. I love my family and my dogs, but I really want to be back in my office and see students and staff and everybody. It's just weird.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. I think, I forgot who the comedian, probably every comedian has said this now or someone on, I don't think, and I'm not a married person yet. Dana's got her mother living with her, so she's got some roommates there, but I don't think we're all meant to be with each other 24/7. I think there's some real truth to that. I don't know if this has been good for online marriage therapists, but I would think that that's going to be a blockbuster business right there. Guess to keep people back together after they go to the office. It's like, honey, why are you working so late? I got, there's good stuff to do. going to hear that a lot, everybody, I think, in the coming months. But what are we going to hear now, Dana? A little bit of music. Fade in a little bit of music, and we'll be back for our next segment.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
I figured that was a good refill time of all time.
Yeah. So what's everybody drinking this morning?
David, what do you got on your desk there?
Awesome.
If you just straight up
got my, yeah, no, I still have to have my cup of coffee in the morning to get me going, wake me up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, it's coffee for me.
Nothing you too, fancy. Lisa?
Me too, with my French vanilla creamer in it every day.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh, there we go.
Yes.
See, fancied it up there. But I just have straight out water with a little water enhancer, not that particular brand of water enhancer, but maybe the generic one from the store. And Dana, what do you have in your cup this morning?
Nothing.
Nothing.
What? You,
this is the one.
Dana? I know.
Dana
the
is
show
a
is
fancy.
Called What's Brewing? I don't have nothing.
Yes, exactly. The show is called What's Brewing. Usually, you have either a fancy coffee.
Yes, I do.
Or now you're doing the peppermint. Tea.
My mint tea, yeah.
Or
my fresh mint leaves, yeah.
Worst case, a Pellegrino, and not the regular Pellegrinos, little tin cans with the flavory stuff.
It's got to be the blood orange and the raspberry, yes.
You got none of that going on.
That sounds good.
She's,
It is, it's delicious, yes.
Yes. Yeah, I guess ask her for her mint tea thing with, of course, you know, muddled mint teas now. Leaves in it, right?
Yes.
You go all out.
Sir. Yes.
Absolutely.
That's how we do in the Yarbrough residence. Yes.
You know, thinking about that, you know, I'm wondering if anyone else, as you know, like Lisa, are you cooking more at home? Are you just, the DoorDash type? Are you just the, everyone does whatever they want at the house and you just work till odd hours of the morning type of person? How's it going for you?
I work till odd hours. I would say my husband definitely cooks more. He, I'm a good cook, but I don't like to cook anymore. He's a fantastic cook. Okay. I'll cook special things. Like if the family wants them, I like to bake more, honestly.
Oh, so
I'd prefer to like bake brownies or lemon bars or cheesecakes, whatever people like. Like I like to do that,
nice.
But I do work way too many hours.
I completely understand. It's easy to spread out hours when your desk, in my case, is in the living area. So, but I get it. I get it. Yeah, it's interesting that you say the baking thing. I do have a friend who's a faculty member at another school, and her husband, they both smoke cigars. Get that. So during this quarantine, we've had some quarantine parties at a friend's house where we could spread out in the backyard. The neighbors don't complain, but she has gone full on baking crazy and has made all kinds of treats for the group. So,
nice.
Yeah. Cause her husband, same thing. Husband is a chef. She's into the baking or whatever, you know, I mean, they balance it out, but full on, we get the text messages telling us when the baking light is on and then it's all to be seen what will come out, but that's awesome. And David, how about you? Everything in the home front, you now the chef of the in the house at the grill, or are you just ordering out every day?
We you know, home. I've got two teenage boys. One's graduating high school here next week, and one's currently attending COS. And my daughter's kind of a little bit older, empty net. You know, she's already out and living in Boston, working for big corporate law over there,
She'll
be getting married in September. So
a lot up
in that way. But we have basically our living room, and my wife is a high school counselor, does college and career readiness programs, and so she's working from home and me trying to work from home and argue over who's got control of Zoom meetings and things like that. I'm in the office here every day in my nice quiet office down the road enjoying that, but good there. And then my boys are, they love cooking and getting into food, and my wife the same thing, gets tired of worrying about dinner every week, so we just came up with a plan. We each we do 2 week stints. Me and one son are in charge of dinners and dishes for 2 weeks, trading off, and then the other two switch off and they do dinner and dishes. And so that way we all kind of take turns and share the load and different dinner things and fun that way. So it's made it work.
That's awesome that you got them involved. Because teenage boys, from everyone I know, and at one point I was a teenage boy, we're really into the eating part really well.
Oh yeah.
The cooking and cleaning part, not so much always, but that's good that they're willing to do that.
And I used to, years before, and my first life, I worked as a pastry chef. So my one son loves, like, he's all into meats and grilling, always coming up with different rubs and marinades and wanting to try different stuff on the grill. So that's been fun. And then my other son, he likes the baking and experimenting that way. So sometimes we get some really great food in the house, and mom and dad can just sit back on the couch and enjoy a drink and let them take care of it.
That's right. No, that's a that's a great, not evil plan, not evil at all. I think that works well. I like this. I like this. So, I got to say, I've done my best to stay away from the Grubhub and the DoorDash, and I've learned how to buy groceries. And early in the pandemic, I made it easy on Ralph's. I would do the pickup instead of going into the store. So, again, the senior citizens have their morning hours. The people who really want to, scavenge through can do their part. But it did become a bit of a game when things were tight. I'd have to do what I think I've referred Dana on the show as Ralph's Roulette, which is if Dennis wanted roast beef for some sandwiches, he had to order two types of roast beef from the deli because he was only going to get one if he was lucky. And occasionally backfired. We ended up with twice as much, but it was a little bit of a roulette. I have to do that now with different things like bread sometimes. You know, you had to do it there because, you know, you'd order the bread. And unfortunately, they wouldn't have a substitute and they won't give it to you. So, yeah.
I love the pickup. Target pickup has become like my new thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have to like shuffle through there for an hour because I get distracted. I love just go and pick it up. I do the same thing with Safeway. It's game changer.
Yeah, it really
is. Game changer.
I did the delivery a couple times, but it cost money. And then as soon as they said that the pickup at Ralph's was free, well, I can then do all the ordering online. I like the Target idea too. again, it's a time saver. And like you said, for some of us, probably a money saver.
Yeah.
Dana, you might want to think about that because I'm just thinking about your fiscal responsibility here. We want you to be responsible fiscally.
No, but we actually in here at home, we do the same thing. We order online though. And we've used like Grubhub and Postmates, but it was getting a little expensive. So we haven't been doing it that much. But yeah, like Lisa said, that is a game changer when you're able to just order and pick up or just have it sent to your home. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm about that life. Yes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
My wife started using the Instacart to order the groceries, either like Costco run or supermarket. And so, but now that things are opening back up, she's kind of like, I don't know. I kind of like this. They just bring it right to my door.
Yeah.
Right? There's really something to that. I mean, beyond the gigantic online retailer and everything else, be able to get so many things. Or again, just stop in, pick up. They throw it in the trunk, and then you run away. Yeah. The only thing is, though, luckily I have a good friend who has the Costco business card. And so occasionally when we're talking about things, because again, he's a cigar smoker, so that's where all my friends hang out. He's like, I can get whatever, he's like, you buy this? Oh, I can get that probably at Costco. Next time I go, I'll send you a photo. So he sent me a photo last time of, I get these like Oscar Mayer P3 snacks, which are like the big Lunchables for adults. And he's like, Costco. Yes. It's got a little meat, a little cheese, some nuts, it's like a protein pack. And he sent me a picture yesterday when he was over there at the business center. He's like, you want one of these? It's like, some gigantic 24 pack. I'm like, sure, I'll take one of those. So, my Instacart is a friend who has a Costco card. on those rare occasions, nice. I need that or other things in massive bulk amounts. I gotta keep up on all of this. Not only do I have to keep up on this all, Dana, guess what I have to keep up on?
Oh boy, it's that time.
A little bit of music. Because the music rises and then it falls so that we can get into our last sip segment, everyone. Just like that. So our last sip segment normally is our I Dare You To selections. Now, if you don't have one, that's okay. But, something you've read, something you're listening to, something you're watching on TV. Usually, in Dana's case, it's something to binge watch that's 195 episodes that are all 3 hours long. And that's where weekends are full of Netflix or whatever, or some other paid service, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But Lisa, we'll start with you. Do you have an I Dare You To selection for our listeners of the show?
I will. I'm going to go with a Netflix show that my husband and I discovered, I don't know, maybe like 3 weeks ago. It's older. It's an older series. It's called Longmire.
Yes.
I don't know if any of you have watched it. It's actually pretty good. You watch it? I love
it. I've seen it a little bit. Yes.
We're only on it. I think we're in season two now. But we just find random stuff that we'll watch. Because my husband's retired, if you don't know that.
Oh,
so okay. Sometimes he's up here in Twain Heart, like without me. And so we got to find stuff that we can watch when we're like together. Because he doesn't like all my chick shows like Firefly Land, which I loved as well. Just going to say. So we got to find stuff that we can both watch. So Longmire was a great find. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, as I remember, I didn't see the whole show, but I remember watching the first few episodes because there were some people on there that I'd seen in other TV shows. And yeah, I think that's the kind of show that you probably could share with him. That definitely makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
David, how about you? Do you have an I Dare You To selection?
Yeah, a couple of things I found. I recently bought a new iPad, and so that came with a year free of Apple TV Plus. So I started kind of opening that up and rooting around in there looking for stuff to watch, because same thing, our household, we're always going through Amazon and Netflix and pretty much exhaust all the binge watching. Ted Lasso, I don't know, some friends recommend that, and that's kind of like our new favorite in the house. It's just this guy, he's a football coach, he gets hired by this soccer league team in London to go coach a Premier League team.
And yes,
it's the old setup. The wife has divorced the owner and she wants to ruin the team, so she brings this guy from the south that seems like a dummy to come in to help ruin the team. But so he's got, everything's kind of going against him in the world. The town doesn't like him, the team doesn't like him, he's got personal problems in his life, but he's just nonstop optimism and feel good, and he turns everything into a positive. And so after a long day, you go home and watch an episode of Ted Lasso, and you just feel better, and it's like, be more, optimistic, outgoing, have that positive spin. So that's been fun. And then I just kind of, that same thing, they've got a series they call 1971, the year that music changed everything. And I thought, 71.
I need to watch that.
I'm more of an 80s kid, probably late 70s, all through the 80s, and I like old classic rock. But I started watching an episode, and I was really impressed. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole series on 1971, and they started with kind of like, Vietnam War and Nixon and Marvin Gaye, what's going on. They had a lot of interview footage of John Lennon and Yoko Ono that I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. And they brought a ton of like history and what was happening in the world, and then why Marvin Gaye wrote the whole What's Going On album, why it was big, why John Lennon's Imagine album was so huge, and with them talking about their music. And that's what I love about music and history sometimes, is because when you listen to it, like what was happening when you're listening to an old Jimi Hendrix or something, at a certain time, like what was happening in the world that they wrote this music the way they did, or what was groundbreaking. So I was really impressed by how they brought that history and that music together, and I'm gonna keep watching the rest of the series on the different artists that they cover.
It sounds very interesting. I'm going to have to go find that some way now, which means one more paid service I probably don't have. Why not?
I know. That's the hard part.
I think we might have it.
I'll keep this after a year. So, yeah.
Dana, how about you? You got to have one this week. You told me you would.
Oh, for sure. Well, so now I'm going to the one I was going to mention today, I'm going to have to save it for next week, because only because David mentioned one of my favorite albums of all time, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. So first of all, I dare everybody listening to listen to that album because it's amazing. And then also check out Spike Lee's, it's Da Five Bloods, D-A Five Bloods on Netflix. And it's about a little bit what David is talking about in this 1971 show. It's about these Black Vietnam veterans who go back to Vietnam looking for some money that they stashed away when they were over there.
Wow.
So definitely check that out. And also, what's so amazing about the movie is Spike incorporates Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, the music from Marvin Gaye's album within the movie.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
Yeah, check it out, guys.
That's nice. I think we're all on a musical bent, because mine is going to be a friend, the same friend I talked about, whose wife is the professor and such. And he's a regular listener to the show, so he's going to get a kick out of this. They gave me for Christmas the book The Last Days of John Lennon by James Patterson. And I'm not a big James Patterson reader in general. I mean, I've got some of his stuff, you know, it's interesting. But he puts out way more stuff than I would have time to read in my life. But this was a really interesting book because it's a lot of little chapters, but it's like three or four chapters about like John Lennon and the Beatles, and it's chronological. And then they'd throw in a chapter of like 2 days before Mark David Chapman, who, you know, kills Lennon, what he's doing. And that's a few more chapters of the Beatles. And at some point towards the last couple chapters, obviously the timelines hit up together. And then you work through the aftermath of the shooting and all that. So just a very interesting way to take a story. But, you know, I knew a little bit about John Lennon, but when it came to his solo years and that, I didn't know a whole lot. And it obviously talks more about where he was going in life and what he'd gone through. And in a sense, he, you know, whether by happenstance or whatever, where he was at that point in time when he did get shot, you know, he'd broken through. And he was trying to be a better man, a better father, all these things. So just a great book. It seems like a long book, but there's a lot of small chapters. It did take me a few nights to read through. But when you're up till two or three, who cares? You know, that it's just time at that point. You know, it's really just time. Exactly. So, well, you know, to keep everyone on target for their Friday morning, Dean, I'm going to fade up the music here because that's all we have time for on the show today. But everyone, there's always new episodes, and we'll try to get these people back here. So I want to thank our guests, Lisa Mandy and David Leverin, for joining us today on the show. I want to thank Dana, of course, for being my co-host, and thank all of you out there in our audience for coming on and listening to the What's Brewing Seasful show.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcsfa@gmail.com.
Find this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 94, recorded the morning of Friday, May 28th, 2021.
Have a great day.
And have a great weekend.
And have a great weekend.